Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Eric named standing, boo, go back to your new home. My mom's like, all right, hey, boo.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
Former President Donald Trump will be sentenced on his 34 felony convictions just days before he is to accept the Republican nomination for president right here in Milwaukee this July. Covering the trial for ABC News from gate to gate, investigative reporter Peter Harlambous, who was in court when the verdict was read. He is live on Wisconsin's Morning News. Peter, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so I want to hear more about what it was like in those moments inside the courtroom. But first, to the point that I just made, sentencing scheduled for July 11th. Are there any restrictions that we know of on the former president now, or can he get right back out on the campaign trail?
No restrictions as of now, no bail. And the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is notably declining to comment about whether or not he's going to be asking for an incarceration. I'm sorry about that.
Busy guy.
Apologies. is notably declining to comment about whether or not they're going to ask for an incarcerated sentence in this case. So we'll really have to wait until July 11th to see if they're going to be asking for prison time in this case. In the meantime, the former president is free to travel and campaign as much as he'd like.
So those moments in court, you know, here in Wisconsin, we allow cameras in the courtroom, but New York typically does not. So we've had to rely on sketch artists and reporters like you to describe what happened. Can you take us through some of those moments, some of the reactions that you noticed as those verdicts were read?
Yeah, it was really nothing short of remarkable. And in a way, there wasn't that much of a reaction. So, you know, the courtroom kind of went silent for a fleeting moment. The foreman had a microphone in hand. He stood up. He stared basically directly at Mershon and began reading down, guilty, guilty, guilty. And the former president sat frozen in his chair. By the time that Trump got to hearing count four, or I believe four and six, he began to shake his head as if it was beginning to set in what had just happened. And after that, there was not much from the former president. The jury had to individually affirm their verdict, some of them looking forward, others looking down. But notably, as they exited the courtroom, when they had to walk in front of Trump, most of them looked away. None of them appeared to look at Trump as they left the courtroom. And Trump himself, as he stood up when this entire ordeal was over, looked as red as I've ever seen him. I mean, he looked in a way shocked, stunned at the entire occasion. As he got out of his seat, he reached for the hand of his son Eric in the gallery, and briefly surveyed the courtroom before pacing out of there and going to the cameras, where he immediately railed about this trial.
I'm Peter Harlambous from ABC News. Really appreciate you being available to us so often during this trial, Peter. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, the other question is, we'll hear from any of these jurors, Adam. I mean, sometimes jurors speak out. Sometimes several of them will hold a news conference. You wonder if any of these folks want to just go away and hide. They don't want to be open to scrutiny one way or another. So whether or not we hear from any jurors about what their process was, what was going on behind those closed doors, remains an open question.
And we did see throughout this whole trial, whether you're watching CNN or anywhere else, much was made about the background of each of the jurors, mm-hmm. which does happen in these high-profile cases. But even with this one, it felt like we knew what their education level was, where they got their social media news from. It was the one juror that got it all from Truth Social, yet it was a unanimous decision. So you can bet reporters are going to be trying to figure out who these jurors were and trying to get some comment.
6:15, sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers welcome the worst team in baseball to American Family Field tonight. Chicago week continues with the White Sox coming in for a weekend series. It follows an emotional series with the Cubs. The crew taking 3 of 4.
Right now it's Sanchez against Tyson Miller. The payoff. Fly ball, center field. Back. Track. Gone! Gary Sanchez in the bottom of the eighth. The Brewers a lead. The Kraken rises.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Jeff Levering on the call right here on WTMJ. El Kraken, Gary Sanchez.
I'm going to release the Kraken.
Yeah, we release the Kraken. Sanchez with a two-run blast in the bottom of the eighth there. The difference. The Brewers 6-4 winners. The Cubs dropped to third place now in the division. The Brewers are five games clear of the second-place Cardinals. Brewers and White Sox tonight with a 7:10 first pitch from American Family Field. Green Bay Packers, meanwhile, break for the weekend, back at OTAs, organized team activities again next week. Packers cornerback Jair Alexander asked about playing with a new safety in the defensive backfield. Xavier McKinney, free agent pickup by the Pack this offseason.
Well, having X, man, I mean, we already are on the same page with things. He communicates.
Yeah, they call him XO, by the way. That's his nickname.
Oh.
How often did we hear, Adam, from the defense last season, you know, got to get on the same page. We got to communicate better, you know, like every game.
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, we weren't on the same page. Well, apparently they're making progress there with McKinney. That's great. And plus,
he has a little bit of fashion sense, just a little bit, you know. I say the second best dresser in the DB room now, behind me.
All right, of course. I don't care as much about that, but we'll take it. One more week of OTAs next week, the mandatory minicamp later in June. And the Milwaukee Admirals try to even the series tonight. Down 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals to Coachella Valley. That's a good team, huh? You follow the ads.
I do. That is the team that knocked the Admirals out last year. They're consistently good. You see this a lot with teams that have good stacked minor league, kind of like baseball, very similar. Right. You get a lot of repeats. That's how you know you got a good system. Same with the Admirals. They have it built up well through Nashville. But yeah, Coachella Valley, that's a tough one. That's a tough cookie to crack.
Now one more on the road tonight, and then home for three straight games at UWM Panther Arena next week. The Firebirds play in Palm Desert, California, so it's a 9 p.m. puck drop Central Time. 6:19. At 6:22 on a busy Friday here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Is the Milwaukee public school system collapsing before our very eyes? The MPS board pushing a vote on the upcoming school year budget amid reports this week that the federal funding for Head Start programs is suspended. That over concern of mistreatment of students, among others. And state funding now in jeopardy because of MPS administrators literally not doing their homework. Fiery meeting Thursday night.
No, we're in a horrible position right now financially. Horrible. And the board had no clue, and I hate that we wasn't given this information.
And that guy's on the school board. That's how fired up that was. That is school board director Daryl Jackson. He's saying the Board of Education had no idea that MPS is 8 months late on financial reports that are just a basic course of business for MPS that are due to the State Department of Public Instruction. They were due back in September.
Let's talk about it. Give us the dollar amount, Marva. How much he's screwing over MPS this time?
Shame! You will not shut us up!
Yeah, TMJ4 News at the meeting there. That's people openly shouting at the board. Also present, MPS Superintendent Keith Posley. They call the cops at him. Eight police officers responded to the meeting to get control of things so they could continue with the business. Mm-hmm. You know, MPS has often been a punching bag. You know, some of that criticism fair, sometimes not, but this mess is other level. Keep in mind, this is not outstate Republicans in the legislature complaining. This is Biden administration, Department of Education. This is state DPI led by Democrat Superintendent Jill Underley. This is way beyond the usual complaints. And Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, which openly campaigned, you'll remember, against the $250 million referendum. We had commercials even running here.
Yeah, we did. I remember them.
So they just, the city of Milwaukee passed that referendum this spring. MMAC is out with an important question. Wouldn't it have been nice to know, for voters to know how big this mess is before they threw all that additional money at what is fairly at least questioned as to whether or not this entire system is failing?
And anecdotally, I've been hearing from people who openly have said, yes, I supported the referendum, I voted in favor of it, and they are completely blindsided too. And Vince, you and I were talking earlier this week about Dr. Posley and the long lineage of MPS superintendents, and it seems everyone has something that comes up during their tenure, but Posley has been very much party line, very much trying to keep the peace during his tenure in that position. This one feels like it might be above the pale.
Yeah, and we found out, you know, additionally, days before, or days after, rather, the referendum passed, that despite that, MPS was still planning to cut some 300 jobs, mm-hmm. or nearly that, some of them classroom teachers. Now you're finding out federal and state funding in jeopardy because they're not doing the basics, filing financial reports, taking care of students. This isn't test scores or performance. These are basics of the job. You mentioned Dr. Posley. It's one thing to be at odds with people in the community. It's one thing at odds to be with others who are criticizing your programs. Another thing entirely to be at odds with your boss, which is the school board here. And so when you have school board members openly calling out saying, we didn't know, almost worse than the fact that it happened is them saying, we didn't know this was a problem. That could spell trouble for Keith Posley.
So now we look at where we go from here. So they never even got around to voting on that budget, which was the purpose of the meeting they were holding. And so now, once again, that can has been kicked down the road. They will hold a meeting on Monday, and there will be public comment again. So you wonder, are we just going to have the same thing happen over and over and over again? Are these meetings going to be interrupted? Is there going to be shouting? Are we ever going to vote on this? And remember, jobs are on the line, almost 300 of them.
I mentioned MMAC. They were out with a lengthy statement. I'll read part of it to you. We now ask the Milwaukee Public School Board to investigate the matter and hold those responsible fully accountable. Again, going back to perhaps the superintendent, a deep independent performance audit of the district must be conducted and the results made public. Our students are told to complete their work and turn it in on time. MPS administrators need to be held to that same standard. So this story continues. Yes, to your point, that next meeting is scheduled for Monday. Can they possibly even vote on a budget at that time? They are bound by, I guess it would be ordinance, maybe state law. Either way, they are supposed to have their budget done by the end of June. So there is time mm-hmm. for them to go back and forth. There's time for them to appeal to DPI, say, okay, here are our financials. This is all this stuff that was due, late as it were. Here's what you needed, and to be able to restore that state funding. So there's time, but not a lot of it, as we're on the last day of May here today. Again, that meeting coming up next week on June 3rd. Well, the White Sox are a really bad baseball team.
Not great.
Wonder if we're set up for an emotional letdown, though. What a great series win for the Brewers. We'll get into all of it in sports at 6:45.
This morning, we have a W-I-N-N-E-R winner.
12-year-old Brewhot Soma from Tampa, Florida, spelled 29 words correctly in 90 seconds in a dramatic tiebreaker or spell-off to win the trophy and more than $50,000 in cash and prizes.
Wow! What a night! What a performance! What a finish! And a standing ovation for Brewhot Soma.
The bee was broadcast on ION. Brewhot had won 3 consecutive lower-level spelling bees before arriving at the National Spelling Bee in suburban Washington. Christopher, CRUISE, CBS News.
Thanks, Chris.
I see what you did there. So at least they solved that problem. Remember, there was maybe several years in a row where the thing ended in a tie. It's like, these kids are amazing. They can't, like, one winner could not rise. And I think it was one year they ran out of words.
Yep, that was pretty recent. And I think that was the impetus for them saying, okay, we can't keep doing the back and forth. So now we have the lightning round. And it's amazing.
The knockout round.
Absolutely
sudden
amazing.
Sudden death.
Absolutely amazing. I can't even fathom it.
But super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Some smart kids.
Sadly, none of Wisconsin's spellers making it into the top 10, although we did have, I think, one of our guys got 17th, so yeah. Finished pretty high.
Was that the girl from Franklin? We had one from Franklin, and we had a young man from Milton.
It was Amit, I think, from Milton.
Right. So 17th, I'll take that. 17th in the land. 6:37 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Cause now it's
Mambo. Mambo Italiano, hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano.
At 6:42 on the front end of the weekend, when and where is Festa Italiana?
Well, it's usually at the end of the year, end of the summer, isn't it, Vince?
So long, one of Milwaukee's premier ethnic festivals. See, you knew the answers. You can't play. Mm-hmm. Answer to that question didn't change like forever. It was like, I think, usually third weekend in July. It was mid to late July always. And, of course, at the Summerfest grounds. It has not been that easy to answer of late. And while this news has been out, I'm convinced some of you listening right now maybe are hearing it for the first time. Festa Italiana is this weekend.
Today.
It opens tonight at 5 o'clock. Unlike the last couple of years, where the Italian Community Center put on smaller events on its grounds nearby. It is back once again at Meyer Festival Park. Sandy Winard is executive director.
Yes, people thought it was very, you know, quaint and very, you know, intimate, but this is not what Festa Italiana should be. We want to share our culture, our heritage, and the experience of Italian food and wine with as many people as possible. Obviously, we have the ability to do that. And our beautiful lakefront.
I was talking with Sandy at the Milwaukee World Festival's launch event earlier this month. So they're up first for the ethnic festivals. And they get a boost tonight. High-profile visit. First Lady Jill Biden, whom I did not know is of Italian descent.
Neither did I.
She is planning to visit. Dr. Biden flying in later today and will deliver remarks at the festival for the opening ceremony at 6 o'clock tonight.
So I went to last year's fest, and I know a lot of people were a little scratching the heads of all the other festivals are back at the main grounds. Why are you waiting to do this? I know they've been kind of navigating a lot of financials, as has most of these festivals over the last few years. And to Sandy's point about, well, some people like it quaint, it's a festival. If you want quaint and Italian, you can go to a nice Italian restaurant, probably.
So, yes, they are back on the grounds tonight. Other thing I wanted to point out, post-COVID, now fully back in swing, UPAF Ride for the Arts presented by Miller Lite is Sunday.
We absolutely have those hardcore cyclists. This is one of the first rides of the cycling season, per se. So they kind of use this as a warm-up for all the other races they have going forward. But it's also perfect for the whole family. There are people who bring tricycles over the Hone Bridge.
Katie Korak from UPAF joining us earlier this week. So Hone Bridge and some of the Lakeshore streets will be closed to traffic Sunday morning. They're going to shut down the Hone at about 5 a.m. on Sunday. And then there'll be street closures from Lake Park all the way to Cudahy for the longer of the several routes. For more particulars on what's closed, when, or how to still sign up, you can sign up to the day of the event. Look for our story on the ride at WTMJ.com. Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Eric off today. Adam is in the house. Chicago White Sox come to town tonight. How many wins, Adam? They're the worst team in baseball statistically in terms of wins and losses.
So we're about 55-ish games in, 2 months of the season. Okay. And the worst, I will guess, 12.
You're pretty close. You undercut them. 15.
Okay.
15 wins on the season. Brewers coming off an emotional series, of course, as former manager Craig Counsell returned to American Family Field. First time as manager of the Cubs. What a game Thursday afternoon. Tied in the bottom of the eighth. One man on.
Release the Kraken.
Yes, Gary Sanchez, nicknamed El Kraken, at the plate. Jeff Levering on the call.
Right now it's Sanchez against Tyson Miller. The payoff. Fly ball, center field. The Brewers the lead. The Kraken rises.
The Kraken rises indeed.
Coming soon.
You just played that cut at 6:15. Yeah, I hope you like it.
We're going to play a lot more.
Brewers win the game 6-2. They take the series 3-1 and have a commanding lead atop the NL Central Division. With the worst team in baseball now coming in for this weekend series. First pitch against the Sox set for 7:10 tonight. Green Bay Packers going to get back at it next week for 3 more days of organized team activities. These optional workouts wrapping up for the week Thursday in Titletown. All good vibes coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Here's another Packer using this phrase to describe how different the feel is this year when compared to the same time last.
It's night and day.
Night and day. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed entering his second season.
Man, it's night and day. You know, just knowing the playbook and, you know, understanding, you know, leverages and, you know, places on the field, you know, and knowing my job. And, you know, it's night and day for me. Just understanding, having that confidence going out there and, you know what I'm going out there for. And it's definitely night and day.
Yeah, remember the Packers got good late last season. That's the last memory we have of the Packers. They right. weren't that team to start or for much of the season. So now you've got this offense that finished the season strong, a year smarter, you're more experienced, yet still young, hungry, athletic, now confident.
What is he doing?
He's beginning to believe.
Yeah, they're all beginning to believe a little bit. I like it. It's got a great feel. However, I again offered the caveat.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. practice.
They wrapped up practice for the week on Thursday, back at it Monday in Green Bay. And quickly, the Milwaukee Admirals return home next week as they continue their Western Conference Finals matchup, this time best of seven series against the Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Firebirds, a tough squad. Debbie can attest to it, too, from watching last year. It was a struggle against them. They are the real deal. And, you know, you're down 0-1. You get one. You just want one. And then you get three in a row, more traditional 2-3-2 series for the conference finals. So they'll be back at Panther Arena. If they can steal one of them and then get hot, who knows? I mean, we won 19 in a row at one point this year. What's three?
So you rip that one tonight and then three more here at home. You could advance to the finals in the Calder Cup right here on home ice. Let's get her done tonight first, though. First things first, watch party at Major Goolsby's if you need it. And a late one. Puck drops at 9 p.m.
And then real quick, also happening this weekend, Vince, it's the reason Eric is out. It's the state track and field meet at UWL Roger Herring Stadium. All the WIAA track and field schools will be competing. I covered this event every year when I was out in lacrosse. It's a hootenanny. They pack that stadium full. It is. It 100% is. They get rowdy for those events. Now, I've worked some of them where it's been 90 degrees, and it's just been an absolutely miserable time on the track because at field level, it's so hot. But this year, weather looks fantastic. Congratulations to everyone for making it this far. Good luck. We're all counting on you.
One of my Tosa East buddies just texted me. His son qualified in the 4x800. He's like, car's loaded up. Family's here. Heading out to Madison. So good luck to all those athletes competing. State track and field this weekend, 6:50 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Mentioned the White Sox come to town. Worst team in baseball here for weekend series with the Brewers. So I'll take a nice deep breath after that return of Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs.
It was so perfect. Right? It was great. I had a good time. I went to the game yesterday. I had a great time yesterday.
Counsell, as we predicted, was met with boos when he was first announced at American Family Field.
Cheer, boo, whatever, man. Just have a good time at the game.
Yeah, well, they do.
I had a really good time.
Shall receive.
3 out of 4 games, everybody had a really good time.
Very nice. Did you? So, would you like to tell us what you told me earlier?
I love going to day games, weekday day games. So my mom is a huge baseball fan, and she loves the Brewers, listens all the time when she can, and she's retired now. So weekday day games, it's easier for her to just shoot down to Milwaukee from Horicon, where my parents live, and I try to take her to as many weekday day games as possible.
That's good of you. You're a good son.
So wasn't sure if we were going to be able to make it to this game. You know, my mom and dad are moving, doing some different things. I'll take a break. I'll come down. So I had a crew. It was me, my mom, and my pal Eric Name from The Athletic, who covers the Bucks, does a great job over there. And Eric was so excited for this game because, as he said, he could not wait to boo Craig Counsell. So I think there was a little bit of peer pressure involved. But every time Craig came out to make a pitching change, obviously Craig steps on the field, everyone boos. And my mom decided, you know what? I'm jumping in on the fun. I've got my mom sitting to my left. I've got Eric Name standing. Boo! Go back to your new home. My mom's like, all right, hey. Boo! Boo! So my mother, my sweet mother, was booing Craig Counsell yesterday at AmFam Field. And I don't know if I've ever felt more proud of my mom. Because that was, again, boo Craig Counsell. That's what we were all there for yesterday.
Good for
and
you.
Then, you know, again, it
you
just
weren't
ends
embarrassed
up being
by that in any way.
Not
like,
even a
mom,
little bit.
Right,
I was
hey,
no,
hey, mom,
you know. I was. I thought it was the best thing ever, and it was awesome. Like Eric was a little nervous because we were trying to figure out people to take with. He's like, I don't know if I want to take my parents because I'm going to be booing Craig Counsell. They may judge me for doing this. No, my mom did not judge at all. She just joined in booing Craig Counsell yesterday. It was spectacular. It was spectacular.
Just made me remember something because you said you weren't embarrassed. One time I was embarrassed. Well,
I've been embarrassed plenty of times by my mother. This was not one of those instances.
My dad, my brother, and I are out at Old County Stadium. And I can't remember who he was playing for at the time, but it was his last stop. Reggie Jackson is in town for the last time in Milwaukee. Was that Yankees still or no?
I'm not sure where he
can't
was at
remember,
the end.
But
of it,
old Reggie trots out to right field, and we're sitting there, and my dad, we're going to see Reggie. We're going to see Reggie Jackson. Okay, great. We're out there in that old right field extension of the bleachers, you know, that was separated from the rest, and we're a couple, two, three rows deep, you know. And my dad starts yakking at Reggie. Reggie, thanks for the memories, Reggie.
There's home runs in a World Series game. Never been done. Reggie, you bet. Reggie. And I'm like, oh, my dad's like talking to Reggie Jackson.
And there's nobody there.
Well, I was about to say, at that point, there's nobody in County State. Reggie can clearly hear.
They could have heard him in the press box.
Reggie.
Just my brother and me. Oh, man. Reggie did give a little wave. You know,
little tip of the cap.
No turnaround, but we got a little wave.
Like, just, hey, thanks. All right, that's enough now. That's enough.
Milwaukee.
Let me just play right field.
I'm glad it worked out better for you and your mom. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, she wanted to have the fun that everybody else was having. And again, it made it that much sweeter because, you know, the Brewers took the lead after old Craig decided to make a pitching change.
Seen that movie before. 6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.